This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by MyYield. MyYield is a family-owned company that empowers farmers across the country to treat their own seed on their own farms. MyYield growers are cutting input costs, improving yields, and taking control of their operations. If you want to learn more about on-farm seed treatment and the latest technologies, go to empoweringfarmers.com. That's empoweringfarmers.com. And also brought to you by GrowMark FS. Keeping up with the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit FSSystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And a good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Monday, October 25th. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We are on the road today, bringing you the show. Thank you so much for making us part of your day today. MarketTalkAg.com, that is our home on the web. That's where you could find us, MarketTalkAg.com. Find all of our past episodes and much more on our website. And we got plenty to talk about today. Soy, spring wheat, leading the grain complex, mostly higher here on the session. Let's bring in our good friend John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing to talk about all of it. John, good afternoon to you, and happy Monday, sir. Kind of a fun, interesting day in the markets.
Yeah, it was. So got some good strength, definitely in those, that bean and the wheat markets on the overnight, and to maintain that strength during the day. Corn just kind of acted like a bit of a follower here. So, but yeah, there's definitely some things starting to happen, at least in that wheat market. It continues to climb, and that still seems to be kind of the focus of where the money flow is, at least in the shorter term, is those classes of wheat.
Yeah, a lot of positive money flow, and you think about just the short supplies of quality milling wheat around the globe is kind of helping us with this spike here. And you look at spring wheat, 10:30 looks like at the close here today, right around that mark, maybe a little off that, but still, I mean, over $10 in spring wheat. You know, I think a lot of us a couple months ago were like, maybe it'll get there, but probably not. And then here we are. Looking at Chicago KC wheat as well, good strength there. I want to talk about that just a little bit before we talk soy. What are your thoughts in this wheat market, John?
A lot of different factors still coming into play. Obviously, you mentioned the global supplies in terms of exportable wheat or available wheat. You know, the supplies with what China has on storage, you know, still somewhat comfortable, but that is not available to the world. So you go look at what the exporters have. Things kind of tighten up pretty quickly, obviously, with the production issues we dealt with this year in the spring wheat crop and that Minneapolis wheat crop. You know, that still keeps this market very, very well supported. You know, we hit the $10 barrier last week. And that was going to be one of those areas I was kind of watching. Does the market sell off the $10 barrier, or does it kick in and continue to climb and go look at those further up targets, which right now feels like we're headed that way? We had a 10.35 target we did back in 2012. We came with a couple pennies of that today. That was kind of a peak point during that time frame. Then you go back a couple years earlier, we had 11.20. was an area that we may even be able to reach to, given some of those tight supply pictures. So, you know, it's about money flow. It's about things of that nature pushing this market higher. Obviously, the fundamentals are still there. And then the global competition for wheat is still just a big factor. One thing on the outside market side that we keep an eye on is look at the currency rates between the Russian ruble and the U.S. dollar. Currently, the Russian ruble is extremely strong versus the dollar. And that, in turn, gives the U.S. wheat a little bit more of a competitive advantage. And we're trying to see what's happening there in terms of the Russian exports as well as their taxes and those situations to manage their food dollars. And that's another, just one of those little underlying factors that brings some buying into the wheat markets.
Well, a lot of strength in the wheat market. And the other side of the coin today was edible oils. That was the other big story we watched, and that gave us more strength in the soybean market. Bean oil, I know meal faded a little bit towards the close, but switching over to soybeans, talk about what you're seeing there. It just seems like this edible oil story, this renewable fuels, renewable diesel, soy, you know, everything going into this, just not going away. And it's really giving us some strength here, John.
It has. And that, and really, that's been the legs underneath the bean market for almost now a year, has been the edible oil market and what's happening there. You go look at the palm oil prices, canola oil prices, those other competing oils, they continue to climb. In fact, again, giving some support underneath that bean oil market. Then you watch what's happening in the crude sector. We had crude oil, you know, on the December contract at $85 a barrel today. So that's got some tie on the USA side for the biodiesel component. So as oil finishes up a solid dollar higher across the board again today, that gives beans its support, helping us to that 16 cent rally today in beans. Now, the other side of the coin we're still a little cautious of is, where does the demand go overall for beans? You know, does an oil-led rally kind of fizzle out somewhere in here if all of a sudden bean supplies start to look a little more plentiful? We saw export shipments today, 2.1 million metric tons, a little bit less than last week, kind of within expectations, still not where we need it to be longer term, considering we lost most of September. So that demand side keeps me cautious. Plus, again, another day, no more export sales announcements, at least in terms of published ones, you know, from China. So are they in the market or not? Or are they just kind of getting enough beans to get through to that Brazilian crop? So even though we got some good strength in beans, I'm a little cautious overall where this market is. It is a market that is showing growing supplies. And if that pace continues, next thing you know, 320 million bushels turns into 420, you know, that's not going to be $12 beans. So with that, you know, for producers, take advantage of the strength. Make sure you're building some safety net floor underneath if you're going to store beans. And just, you know, make sure you're set up, because downside risk is still there. It's still a chart that is trending lower overall. And we got to see how we close out in the month. We have had five consecutive closes lower in beans on the monthly charts. Right now, we're down about 18 cents on the month going into the end of the day today. So we'll have to see how that shapes up here as we get close to the end of the week and the end of the month.
You mentioned demand. There's a lot of rumors out there about China buying U.S. beans for the Pacific Northwest today. We'll see if that actually happens. Export inspections, 77 million bushels of beans, pretty strong, although that was 45% below a year ago. I mean, so it's kind of a, you know, two-sided coin there. Strong, you know, for, you know, continued strong here as we go into this week, but yet below last year. So I think there's a lot of things, as you alluded to watch on the export demand front as well.
Very much so. And, you know, that demand side of it is going to be the big question mark going forward. USDA has got a very aggressive demand pace out there. You know, we're way behind on the sale pace at this time frame compared to last year, because last year we had a lot of beans locked in early, even before we hit the start of the marketing year with that strong buying spree that they went through over the summer months. Now, this year, a little different story. Obviously, beans are a couple dollars a bushel higher, so you know, end users are a little more hand to mouth. In other words, buying as they need in this window. We'll have to see how that kind of plays out. What we're going to need to see over the long haul is sales have a longer tail to them this year than we've seen in the past. Last year, we had an aggressive sales pace, and then it kind of tailed off towards, you know, in our seasonal windows. Same thing on the shipment side. Because of the damage from Hurricane Ida and the amount of bean bushels we did not get shipped in September, we need to see that shipping pace hit its peak and then have a long, slow decline down into the seasonal lows, which is when those South American beans come online.
Let's talk corn. You mentioned at the top that corn feels like a follower here. I know export inspections were half of the previous week. Corn really just kind of hung around unchanged, a very narrow trading range today. In fact, December corn and March corn both finished unchanged on the day. What are your thoughts on this corn market? Is it going to continue to just kind of be a follower here in this window, John?
At least at this time frame, it feels that way. I mean, I like what the charts are put together. We got a nice little bit of a bottom. Now we're kind of consolidating at the most recent set of highs. Maybe targeting, moving up to the 100-day moving average. That's going to be around that 46, 47 area in December, with the potential maybe breaking out to the low 550 window. That would kind of match the trend line over top of the recent highs going back to the summer. If you snap a line over that, that would be where that 550 number comes into play. So we'll have to see. Now, there's a couple different things that are going on play here. First off, that we go back to that energy sector. Ethanol is extremely profitable right now. They're aggressively looking to lock in corn, so we got some good cash demand in that regard. It would have been nice to see those export shipments stay strong. You know, well over a million tons last week. This week, we're just pushing over 500,000 tons. So that just tells you, you know, this is not the window we're shipping corn in. It's the window that we want to be, we're moving beans. But so we'll wait for that to pick up down the road. The export sales numbers are actually pretty solid. Still need to kind of keep moving. But like beans last year, we had a pretty good buying spree in the summer, and that's got our export sales numbers where they need to. So it's going to be about getting those bushels shipped. Right now, I would say this market's probably range bound. If we do break out, you got 550 in the top. Otherwise, I think 540, 545 can hold us. And then we've got the bottom end of this range down about that 520 window. Maybe we just ping pong here until we get a clear idea where this crop truly is. Still a lot of variability in the corn harvest, so that is something we got to watch going forward. But at least at this time frame, you know, it just feels like the cash market is going to be what's going to be the focus here, and what they're trying to get the producers to do, whether to store that corn or ship it out.
John, let's go to livestock. We had that cattle on feed report Friday afternoon. You know, futures were fairly strong here today, although in a narrow range. Some of those numbers came in lighter than expected on placements. Talk about what you saw that cattle on feed report and the reaction, or maybe lack thereof of a reaction here today.
Yeah, the cattle on feed numbers were mostly friendly, at least in the placement side. That was a pretty good size miss, low expectations, below the low end of the range with placements at 97% of last year. So I was expecting to see the market get a little fire under it, especially the feeder market, and it did. It opened $2.50 higher, but it just never seemed to get any traction beyond that. Live cattle kind of came out the same way, about $2 higher in the front end. But then we got to go start taking a look at what's within the numbers, especially on the live cattle side here in the front end. We look at cattle on feed over 150 days. That number stays heavy. Again, we're looking 14% over last year in this time window. So that just tells me that there's still a lot of cattle available, and the packers don't have a lot of motivation to start bidding up. So cash market still stays in control of this market overall. You know, we've been averaging about 120,000 head a day, and that's just not enough to really put any pressure on this cash market to lift itself higher, because there's still plenty of available supply out there. Then we got to throw on the demand concerns over top. That's the other thing that's weighing on this market. Retail carcasses softer again today. Felt like we got a little bit of a bottom maybe put in last week, so we'll have to see if today was just a trend day or an anomaly, and we'll see if it develops that. But right now, that's a concern. You know, what's the consumer doing? A lot of talk about inflation. When inflation's high, that means discretionary income tightens up. That usually means the consumer demand for cattle or beef in that regard at the grocery store typically comes apart a little bit. So that might be the last little wet blanket kind of holding any rallies in check. This week, though, we do see October cat lives and feeders are getting close to expiration, so that's going to be part of the picture here as well. We may just have to get through that, and then we'll settle down and see where this market really wants to go. But like kind of like that bean market, it feels a little bit like it's still on a bit of a slippery slope, at least according to what the charts are showing me.
And in hogs today, that cash hog market continues to fall. It's kind of dragging the board with it. It was a little bit of a down mixed day. What are your thoughts on hogs here on Monday?
You know, hog market's in a bit of a tough spot right now. The funds are still actually sitting very long in the hog market. And then we got the fundamentals that aren't quite working. Obviously, you just mentioned cash market continues to be soft. Retail values are sub 100. That's, you know, kind of a break in the psychological price there. You know, we did see a little bit of strength today. Some of that's probably tied to that strong, you know, basically gap between the futures price as well as the cash index, which is still trading about that $10, $11 window. So that's going to keep a little bit of bid in that December. But you go start looking at the longer term picture. There's a lot of demand concerns going on out there. We're watching Chinese hog prices continue to be extremely weak as supplies are fairly strong. Expecting to see them maybe disappear from the export market a little bit more. So that's going to keep some weight on those summer months. So, you know, right now as a producer, I look at $90 hogs out in the summer. Boy, I'd be thinking about making sure I got something underneath that. Leave the top side open because a lot of things can happen, but definitely make sure you got some floor protecting that value. Because right now, again, like I've said, with the other couple markets, a little bit of a slippery slope building there in terms of just how the money is flowing. And this hog market may have got ahead of itself a little bit, thinking that Chinese demand was going to be there longer than it really is. And now it needs to correct itself a little.
John, great stuff. Any final thoughts you have for us on this Monday?
I keep watching those outside markets. They make me extremely nervous at this time frame. You know, even crude oil today popping 85 a barrel, and then it kind of faded off there. You know, there's a lot of money pushing some of these commodities very, very aggressively in the front end, and it's going to lead that way too. It's just a lot of specialty income, you know, specialty investors stepping in, pushing the market out on the speculative side, maybe more than it needs to. So that makes me cautious. that somewhere in the next handful of months between now and the end of the year, we start seeing some correction in some of these markets. And that could be something that makes us pull back, see that risk off type trade. So as I've been talking to a lot of producers, maybe I'm a little bit more on the negative side here, but look at the value. Keep some safety valve floor underneath of it, because I don't want to wake up one of these days and have 3-4 days of risk off and watch a lot of value disappear.
John, producers need some advice, need a little help from you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing. I know they can get a hold of you a couple different ways. Tell us how they can reach you.
Sure. Love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call at 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, don't forget to check out our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Again, a lot of great information for producers out there, as well as my bios there. So feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call.
John, appreciate the time as always. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Sounds great. Have a good week, everybody.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing joining us today here on Market Talk. That's going to do it for the show. Find us, markettalkag.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have yourself a great afternoon.